Good morning, everyone. If you paid attention to anything going on in the world over the weekend, you probably noted that this went from a tiny headline to a very, very serious public emergency being talked about by the federal government. But what does it all mean? Let's begin with the numbers. Swine flu. An outbreak is not an epidemic, is not a pandemic, but so far 103 people are said to have been killed by possibly swine flu in Mexico. More than 1,600 people believed to have contracted the virus. Around the world, there are outbreaks that are being reported. 20 confirmed cases in the United States, from California to New York, Ohio, and Texas. It's too early to say pandemic, as we've said. Joining us now to help sort this out and to figure out where this goes next is Donald McNeil, New York Times reporter. Don, thanks for being with us right here in the studio.
Thank you for inviting me.
And Keith Bradshaw is the Hong Kong bureau chief for the New York Times, who joins us from Hong Kong, where, of course, that city and other places in Asia have had a lot of recent experience dealing with SARS and more recently with avian flu. Keith, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Don, when you came into the studio, you literally said very shortly, we're not maybe going to be shaking hands. We're going to be doing elbow bumps when we say hi to each other. Do you think that's really where this is headed?
Yeah, I do think eventually. I mean, I think public health officials are being very careful and very conservative, but I think the sort of scenes that we're seeing in Mexico City now, we'll be seeing in New York and other places. Maybe not as severe, but you know, the flu is already here. The flu, it's in Queens. We're an epicenter of the epidemic now, and it will spread.
And is the threat what flu can do, or is there something that we know about this strain confirmed now that absolutely suggests that this is, you know, the real deal?
Well, nobody has enough numbers to really understand what's happening, and that's one of the reasons the WHO is reluctant to raise a pandemic level alert. They're also reluctant for political reasons. But when you say 1,000 people infected, that's not really right. There's probably tens of thousands of people infected. It's about 1,000 people seriously ill, and I think it's about 100 people dead. So you have to assume that there are many, many more cases in Mexico. They've been having a surge in flu in Mexico for about a month, and something like that presumably will happen here now that it's going around the world.
How quickly can you figure out from a person that, like, goes into a hospital and says, boy, I feel pretty lousy, how long does it take before that person can be confirmed to be with the virus and then put on a map and decisions can be made about where this is headed?
There's a whole series of flu tests that you do. You do a test to see if it's flu and not something else, not rhinovirus or coronavirus. Then you do a test to see if it's flu A or flu B. Then you have to see if it's flu A, is it something a previously known strain? If it's not one of those, the best guess is that it's swine flu, but then you have to get that confirmed. You have to send the sample to Atlanta. So it takes a couple of days.
A couple of days at least. All right. Keith, people of China and in places around Asia are familiar with taking aggressive steps here. What are the sorts of infrastructure medically that are already in place in a city like Hong Kong, Keith?
Hong Kong is the best prepared of all because this place is terrified and has been terrified for 6 years of having any repeat of SARS, which was a terrible lasting scar on the city. In fact, during SARS, we stopped shaking hands here. Many people began going back to the traditional Chinese greeting in which you clasp one hand over the other in sort of a double fist and without actually shaking hands or making contact. It's actually a very good way to avoid physical contact. In terms of steps being taken now, for starters, they've already built an entire new respiratory diseases isolation in a building here. So Hong Kong has 1,400 beds for respiratory isolation in a city that only requires 80 to 100 beds on any given day. The city also, by Thursday, will have 6 hospitals running immediate tests that will be able to identify swine flu, as opposed to in the States, everybody having to send samples to Atlanta. Hong Kong already today, by the end of the day, had already taken legal procedures to make to specially identify swine flu so that people can be quarantined. There have been extensive legal changes here in ways that the United States has not done to establish exactly what legal powers there are to quarantine or detain or trace people who might be infected. The territory also keeps a very active database of everybody who's ever been trained as a nurse or doctor, even if they're retired or moved on to other occupations, and can mobilize them. There are detailed contingency plans for keeping the trams, the subway, the buses, the food supplies, the telecommunications, the electricity, all of that running, even if large numbers of people get sick, in terms of having alternate crews.
Are you even halfway through this list yet, Keith?
No, I'm not. It's a very extensive thing that everybody has been preparing here for 6 years. And the question is, has the rest of the world taken the warnings that you could see coming from avian flu to heart?
Well, let's put
Hong Kong is an example of how it can be done.
Let's put that to Don. I want to move to Hong Kong today. Should I be concerned about not having the kind of infrastructure that Keith Bratcher is talking about in Hong Kong?
We do have that kind of infrastructure. We've just never ramped it up the way they have in Hong Kong or in Taiwan or a few other places, because they faced SARS and they've but thanks to SARS and thanks to the fear over avian flu, we have an enormous strategic stockpile of Tamiflu and masks and hospital ventilators and things like that that's already pre-positioned in warehouses around the country.
Let's just be really, really clear. Is it, based on what you're seeing here in the United States, is it premature to go to the levels that Keith is talking about, or should we look for those switches to be tripped this week?
It's certainly premature for Hong Kong to be going to the levels. They don't have any cases.
Right.
In New York, it's premature, but we have cases. I mean, what we've seen now, you should look at what that school in Queens. It went from 75 cases to 150 cases in the course of a day or so,
right,
according to what the Brother Francis said.
All right, well, let me put a question to you, Don, from one of our listeners. Does immunization matter? Have the people who have caught it, at least with those that we can obtain this information, been immunized or not with the seasonal flu virus?
The flu vaccine? The answer is nobody knows. They are testing this past year's seasonal flu vaccine against the new virus. Samples were sent from people who tested the flu vaccine down to the CDC, but they haven't got an answer yet. There is an H1N1 component in the seasonal flu vaccine.
Explain H1N1.
Well, okay. there are lots of different kinds of flus. They're all known by the H and the N number. The H is the hemagglutinin spike,
right,
on the outside that lets it get into a cell. The N is the neuraminidase that lets it escape from the cell. There's N1, H1N1, H3N2, H9N2. There are lots of different flu viruses around. All right, there is a human H1N1. It is a distant, semi-related descendant of the 1918 pandemic flu.
And
that's been going around ever since 1918. It's part of the seasonal flu, but it's mutated a lot since then, so it's mild.
But there is
something in the vaccine from that component.
Right.
There might be a tiny amount of cross protection, but nobody's sure.
Right. So it's unclear if the virus, that the specific strain that we're vaccinated against, if we took this swine flu this time around, is relevant to what's going on in this particular.
You're actually vaccinated
because of all
against
the
three strains every time you get a flu shot, an H1N1, an H3N2, and a B. But none of them are problems. The H1N1, there might be a little bit of cross-protection, but they haven't proven that yet.
All right. Well, I actually understand that. Keith Bratcher, and I understand it just by listening to you, not because I did my homework this morning. Keith, are the measures that are in place in Hong Kong designed to stamp out an epidemic? It just seems to me in a city the size of Hong Kong, it would be hard to really stop something if things get moving with all the traffic inside and outside of the city. Or is it designed to mitigate the health implications and try to save as many people who get infected?
It is designed, in the case of influenza, to mitigate and slow down an outbreak. If it were something like SARS, you can bring under control and try to stamp out entirely, as Hong Kong did, although at terrible human cost and lives and very, very sick people 6 years ago. But you could stamp it out because people didn't become infectious until after they'd been sick for a week. Mm-hmm. And by then they were probably in a hospital because they were so ill. By contrast, with flu, people become infectious right as symptoms are first appearing or even slightly before. So you cannot prevent it entirely. But the hope is that you can slow it down so you don't have everybody hitting the hospitals at the same time, and so that you have longer in which to develop, for example, ideally, a good vaccine, so that you can make a variety of these other preparations in terms of making sure that vital services are maintained. All these things can be done, and if you can slow things down. So the goal is to slow things down and treat the patients as best as possible.
All right, Keith, thanks so much. He's the Hong Kong Bureau Chief for the New York Times, talking about the infrastructure in place in Asia, where they do have some recent experience with SARS and avian flu. Donald McNeil here in the studio. Last question for you. One of our listeners wants to know, no one that I know has addressed the reason for fatalities in Mexico, and the swine flu seems to be so mild everywhere else. Are the people that died immune compromised, young or old? What do we know at this point, and what does it say to people in the United States?
They're the opposite of immune compromised. First of all, you should assume that there are probably – the best guess is that there are tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of cases of the flu in Mexico, and that what you're seeing is the tiny tip of the iceberg that's getting seriously ill and the tinier tip of that iceberg that's dying. And they're probably dying – this is a guess – because of a cytokine storm, which is a hyperactive immune – a regular immune system in a strong, healthy young person.
Healthy people's immune system really brings them down.
Flooding the lungs with fluid and people basically drowning in their own.
Lots to talk about. Donald McNeil, New York Times reporter covering the swine flu situation that is now, as you've described, an epicenter here in New York.
Yeah.
You would say that. Donald McNeil, thanks so much.